Over the last couple of weeks, I'm sure you remember that we've been going quite exhaustively, if you can just hang on to the bag, thanks so much. We've quite exhaustively been going through about why we give. We're not giving because of we're scared of being under the curse. We understand that that is now past. We're not giving because we're scared that there's going to be some kind of wrath of God if we don't. We're giving because we want to partner with the gospel. And I really felt led by the Holy Spirit right now just to pray for your seed. So you're gonna take, if you take something electronically, if you take something in your hand right now, and what is your seed that you're sowing? If we're partnering with the gospel, we are praying that these finances will come into people knowing Jesus. Amen? That's the bottom line. That's the bottom line. The lights, everything else is really just the precursor to these seats being filled with brand new Christians, with earrings everywhere and colored, so we say, not argus geslaanet. That's what we want. We are co-laboring with what God's wanting us to do. And so if you take your finances, I want to pray for your seed that when you come again, there's going to be a few more seats and a few more seats and a few more seats, and you'll say, yes, Lord, you're taking these finances because we're sowing it for the gospel. Amen. Lord, we just pray, Lord, for every seed sown in this church, Lord, that it goes to the proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ, the gospel that has set us free, and we want to see many people more set free. Lord, if we go to two or three services, Lord, we want to see this place filled up with those celebrating Jesus. And Lord, we know this truth, and it has liberated us into a new life. And we pray, Lord, for the continued outgoing of the gospel through these four walls, through the believers that fellowship in here, and just commune with you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys. If you can turn to Exodus 33 in the meantime, what I'm about to tell you this evening, you'll probably agree with, but you probably won't believe it. Does that sound weird? Does it sound weird? You're probably going to agree with a lot. I say, yes, I agree with you, I agree with you, I agree with you. But when I say, you probably won't believe it, it's because I'm still busy trying to wrestle with it myself. I'm probably going to get the CD afterwards and hear myself talking about this before I actually catch it. But in the last couple of months, we've been preaching on our identity in Christ, who we are in Christ Jesus, the finished work of the cross. And as Steve mentioned this evening, we're wanting to expound a bit about our purpose. What are we doing this year with dreaming and the like? And the question that was plaguing me over the last couple of days has been, what is one of the main things that hinders people from living out their dreams? Because I think there's a good couple of things that hinder people from living out their dreams. And I was just praying, saying, Lord, show me what this is, because if we can tackle this one thing, you're going to see people living life large. And I was listening to someone casting a vision of how big they wanted to go with this one project that they were getting involved in. And no sooner had they finished, they hadn't even got to finishing yet. And there was someone that was in the meeting had already been saying, yeah, how are you going to get this right? That's probably not going to work, and this is definitely going to be an issue. And I thought, I just said, hey, hang on a second. When God's birthing a new vision and a new thing, the Bible speaks very clearly about that there's a wisdom when we get into a council of multitude and we kind of ask, what do you think? How does this work? But you want people that are going to see the silver lining and not the cloud. You know, you get those kind of people that can't wait for you to finish saying, this is what I believe God has got in store for me, and they're already busy eyeing out the dark cloud and saying, yep, no, definitely not. And I can only take a certain amount of the people pointing. I want to see silver linings. I want to see things that God sees, because He's already there in the future and He's already prepared in advance for you the good things that He has set before you to do. So let me stage. You know, they say we should always take things in context, the scripture, right? So let me set the stage for you. I'm going to go put this in context quickly. Here we go. Moses has just come down from the mountain, seen what the Israelites were up to in the golden calf, threw down the broken and broke the Ten Commandments, the only guy ever to break all ten in one go. He's feeling a little down, a little demotivated. The future doesn't look altogether bright. He probably was looking at the year ahead thinking, God said I'd be living the dream, now it feels like I'm in the middle of a blooming nightmare. That's the context. Here we go. Exodus 33. Let's get there. I don't know, mate. Here we go. There's things coming up here. Exodus 33. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks to his friend. How does that sound to you? I'm sure there must have been colloquialisms and the like in that day. You know, I mean, if he was talking to us as we were a friend, this, it speaks of intimacy, it speaks of, but I don't speak to my friends, doth thou do believe that once upon a time, thou might find it in that way. We don't speak like that. And God was speaking to him as a friend, a chummy, a buddy, a mate, a connection, a brew. Or a brunette if you're a lady. But that's how God was talking with him. It was very relaxed. It wasn't on tippy toes. I'm going to go talk with God now, fearing for my life. There was a relationship that had already been established that God was talking to him as a friend. So what's up? How's it going? You're my homeboys. You know, whichever part of the world you can kind of understand. But I'm sure when it says that they were speaking face to face, it speaks of an intimacy. It speaks of a closeness. It speaks of God wanting to share his life as much as he was wanting to share in God's presence. When Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant, Joshua the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, bring up these people, but you have not let me know with whom you will send me. Yet you have said, I know you by name, and you have found favor in my sight." And there's such a nice little, a different translation says, not where it says, "and you have found favor in my sight," it says, "and you are special to me." Hey? See, you guys are hearing me, and you're agreeing with me, but you don't believe it yet. God says, "you are special to me." Why? Because it wasn't just Moses that can now talk to God face to face, but Jesus has opened up the door that we can go and see Him face to face and enjoy Him face to face. And God says to me, "I know you by name, and you are special to me." Exodus 33:13 says, "Now therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please, please give me a whole lot of money so I can go." No, it doesn't say that. "Please help me with my sin." No. He says, "Please show me now your ways, here's the conclusion of that, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight." And then he throws in this little thing for extra benefit. "Consider too that this nation is your people." He's kind of just saying, they're your responsibility. "I just want to get to know you. We're sort of hanging out. We're sitting face to face. We're communing with one another. And you know, these people are yours. I don't know anything about them. I've just been down there. You've seen the state of that calf. It's a nightmare. I don't want to go back. That's your responsibility, God." Kind of like throws it in for good measure. And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Because you see, Moses is worried about what the future's ahead. He's seen there's some, we look like locusts in their eyes, still ringing in his ears. And he's looking at his future and he's saying, it doesn't look too bright. Things are looking a little bit shady next to him. I'm a little bit scared. And these people I've seen the way you just sort things out. You just kill people. So this is your responsibility, God. And God reassures him. He says, "I will give you rest." And he said to him, "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring this up from here. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us so that we are distinct, I and your people?" You see, he's distancing himself from, "Now you and I were good, but I and your people," because the future that I know you've got in store for this lot is one of wars, it's one of trying to take the land. Lives are going to be lost. It doesn't look too rosy. "I and your people from every other people on the face of the earth." And the Lord said to Moses, "This very thing that you have spoken, I will do. For you have found favor in my sight." Remember, other translation, "For you are special to me. And I know you by name." Moses does a very interesting thing. He says, "Please show me your glory." "Please show me your glory." The Bible says that later on, Moses dropped to the ground and worshipped him. "Please show me your glory." What do you think God would have done? Do you think God would have said, I want to show you all my might. I am the omnipotent one, and I will show you how strong I am. Or do you think God would have gone past him and just installed a bit of fear, and so he would have seen that God is a just God and holy God? That would cause him to, that would cause me to fall down as though dead for sure. Did he send would God have sent a multitude of the army of angels armed to the teeth marching through? Hey? Because it says that at the end of whatever happened, he fell down and worshipped him. And he said, this is what God says. This is what he says to you and I today. I will make all my goodness pass before you. I will make all my goodness pass before you, and will proclaim before you my name, the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on who I will show mercy. Doesn't that remind you of another passage about goodness and mercy? Psalm 23, David says, he makes me lie down. Because God knows, we just want to get up and do things and be the right person and work hard and show him that we're acceptable. Let me just make you lie down. I'm not just going to make you lie down. I'm going to make you lie down in green pastures. And David finishes off by saying, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. David understood just by spending time with him that goodness and mercy were going to follow him for sure. Because he understood that God's very character and nature towards us is he is good and he is merciful. We're singing a whole bunch of songs this evening about how powerful he is, and we all agree that he can move mountains and he can do what he wants to, but we're battling with a little small thing, and this is where I believe that we all agree with what I've said so far, but we don't believe it. Is that we agree that God is like that. We agree that he is all powerful. We agree that he is good and that he is merciful. But for everyone else, I've got faith for that. But when he is good and merciful to me, I don't believe it so much. Your dream, your vision, that God's wanting to birth in you, because you can't come up with something, it's given to you. It's God saying, I've created you with desires, I've created you with good works in advance, and I'm going to birth something in you supernaturally, but it comes out of a place of believing that first of all, he is good. Second of all, he is merciful. And third of all, you are special to him. And he wants to do it for you. He wants to do it for you. And I can feel the tension here. Because you believe that he is good and you, he can do it for all these other people. We hear testimonies, but when last did God touch your life with all his goodness? Hey, I know my God is good. But to stand there on that day and see the Lord coming past proclaiming the Lord, and all his goodness would just... Woo! What would that do to your knees? Well, I would just, I already feel weak. I'm trying to imagine what that would be. Just, I mean, he's asking for his glory. He's asking for the presence, the intimate presence of God. And God says, I'm going to show you who I am, as intimate as we are face to face. And I'm going to show you all my goodness. Hey? And that wasn't just for him. That's for each and every one of us for today. Because Moses needed to hear a little something of, I am for you. I am not against you. I am good towards you. You are special. I know you by name. I have numbered the hairs on your head. I'm helping God a little bit because of the receding hairline. He's got a lot to keep track of in this room. But that's the way he relates to me. Can you say that about yourself? You can say easily, nah, that's the way he relates to everyone else here. And me, he's just a little bit trying to show me up. Teach me a lesson. And God's saying, I want to give you dream. I want to give you imaginative dreams. I want you to write songs that will just cause people to just lift up into my presence. I want to give you an idea for your business that's going to turn this economy the right way up. I want to give you abilities to bless people, to raise the dead, and all of these things. But do we really believe? We agree that He is good, but do we really believe that He is good towards me? This is something you're going to have to wrestle with through the course of the week. And say, Lord, I'd like to believe this. It's just truly too fantastic to believe. And that's what the grace is all about. That's what grace is all about. See, that heading was, for that first point, was a lifestyle of meditating on His grace and goodness. Moses sat with Him face to face. He had met Him in the fire. He had met Him and he walked with Him. But it was as he was spending time with Him, he recognized that, man, this God that I'm enthralled with, that has taken my breath away, He is not only all-powerful, He is not only everywhere all the time. The psalmist says, where can I go from Your presence? I go up to the heavens and You are there. I go to the depths of the earth, You are there. You're everywhere. You're all the time. You're all in time. Throughout time, You are. You're all-powerful. You're all amazing. And you're worried about me. Man, what does that do to you? This leads me to my next point. Hope is born as a result of His goodness. You cannot truly believe that He is infinitely good towards you and not just have a little bit of hope creep up inside of you and say, maybe this year is actually going to be a year where things turn around. Maybe this is a year where my dreams actually can start to get fulfilled. Maybe just a little bit of hope creeps up inside of you and says, please, Lord, don't forget Your humble servant. He says, but when you fall asleep, I sit with you face to face. When you wake up, I sit with you face to face. I've never left you. Goodness and mercy are following you wherever you go. Hope starts to creep up, and you can see what happens here. Exodus 33:20. But he said, you cannot see my face, for man shall not see me and live. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me where you can stand on the rock. God was wanting to over-reinforce His goodness to him and say, you're not just special to me. I don't just know you by name. Come up with me. You can kind of see just snatches him out and says, come here, there's a place right by me. Right by me. And I'm gonna hold you. How do we know that? Because he says, I'm gonna put my hand on you. So he's getting this big hug from Father God. As he says, I'm just gonna let all my goodness come before you and you're gonna see my glory. You're gonna see how good I am. My boy, come, let me hold you. Take you up to my place where I am. And while my glory passes by, I'll put you in a cleft of rock and I will cover you with my hand until I have passed by. Then I will take my hand away and you shall see my back, but my face shall not be seen. If we can go on to Exodus 34:6. Thank you. The Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, the Lord. A God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. Keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children and of the children's children to the third and fourth generation. And we take that scripture and we say, see, God's wanting to punish us. He's wanting to hold us to something. But God said He was going to do something. Let's go back to what He said. He said to him, it says, it's Exodus 33:19. I will make all my goodness pass before you and proclaim before you my name, the Lord, which we can see in that passage of Scripture. And that next one, which speaks about forgiveness of sin and punishing those to the third and fourth generation, is summed up in this beautiful sentence. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Says in the end, Moses quickly bowed his head towards the earth and worshipped. Why did he worship? It was not because he said he was going to punish those deserving of punishment. Remember what we just read now? It's because he saw all of God's goodness come before him. God's hands holding him, embracing him. He feels God's love. But now for the first time he experiences all of God's goodness. And through that goodness he felt his burden being lifted. Not just I and you people, but just this is the promised land. We are going into good things. This is the year of the Lord's favor. He felt that he could even do the impossible, and we can too. Listen to Romans 8:31. Don't turn there. What then shall we say to these things? What things are they talking about? In the previous couple of verses, Paul's writing about us being adopted as sons. The Spirit of God coming upon us. That we're being redeemed. And that about two verses before that, it says that God is working all things together for the... You can say it. Well, if you say it often enough, you'll believe it. For the good. For those that love Him. So it says in the passage of Scripture, it says, what then shall we say to all these things? All these things about our adoption, our redemption, about Him turning all things for the good of us. What should we say about these things? If God is for us. I can see some people catching it. Your face is just going, oh, I get it. If God is for us, who can be against us? Hope now all of a sudden takes the next leap. Because now all of a sudden you started to, hang on a sec, God is good. There's a phenomenal thought. I'd like to ponder that a little bit more. Mm-hmm. He's good towards me. He thinks I'm special. He knows me by name. And He wants to show me all His goodness. Hope starts to creep up. You move along here, and you start to actually believe it. That if this is true, what I've just heard, and hope is starting to be born here, if He really is that good, and if He is for me, what does my future look like? Because He is good, I had hope. Now all of a sudden, my hope is giving birth to faith. Giving birth to faith. You need faith for tomorrow. You need faith for next month. You need faith for right now. Because not faith for existing, but faith for living and reigning. Faith is believing that God is really that good. How do we know this? Because He said so. Jesus, John, angels, when they preached the good news, they didn't say, we're going to give you some now for some holy news. News bulletin sound in the background. Now for some very important news. No, He said now for some good news. Good news. Mark 1:14-15. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe in the good news. Jesus gave instructions to him. He said to him, go into all the world and preach the good news. The angel answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and I have been sent to speak to you to tell you this good news. And even in the law, Paul says in Romans 7:12, so then the law is holy and the commandment is holy, righteous and good. See, nothing can come from the Father that is not good because His very nature is goodness. His very nature, the essence of who He is good. So I ask you now, how can you not believe? I ask myself now, how can I not believe that number one, our God is infinitely good. Two, that He has been good to me. Have we ever, ever, ever had a reason to doubt His goodness towards us? Has He done something and that you said, oh, I don't know anymore? Have you not been fed? Are you not in health here right now? Have you not just enjoyed the rain on the just and on the unjust? The sun's going to rise up tomorrow. Has He given you any reason to doubt Him? He who was good in the past, He is good right now. Whether you believe it or not, His goodness reaching out to you is waiting for you in your future. If He is for me and not against me, then I have a security and a hope. If He is infinitely good and His grace extends all the more to me, I cannot fail Him. Because grace is not grace unless you're free to fail. We might have feel like we've failed others, but you cannot fail Him because His goodness and His mercy follow you all the days of your life. You can't go anywhere and goodness and mercy are not following you every single day. I want to say this, this week, tonight, I want you to think about God's goodness as who He is, as in how He relates to you. Because from that place of spending time with Him, He will birth a little vision, something of hope, something of your dreams and desires. And if you've been thinking about how good He is, hope will well up. And then faith. And you will see that thing come realized sooner than later. I really believe God, one of the biggest, remember my biggest question that I was going to say for this evening was, how, what is the main thing, one of the main things that hinders people from realizing the dreams and purposes that God has got in store for you? And I really believe is that we do not truly believe that He is infinitely good and that He is infinitely good towards us. There's some people here this evening that you don't know if you actually can enjoy this goodness of God. Steve prayed for some people this evening, but I really felt to pray for people that don't belong to His family. They don't know if they're going to be part of being, am I allowed to have a part of this goodness? I want to give you an opportunity to pray with me. That you would have an opportunity to know that He is all good. And He is all good towards you. So I'd like to ask if we can close our eyes. I want to just lead us in a time of prayer, just for those that don't know Him as a Father. Lord, You are good towards us. But Lord, I pray that You would come into my life. Show me, Father God, how good You are towards me. If you've never prayed a prayer of just recognizing that God is God and that He wants you to fall in love with Him, this is what I want you to pray. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Show me how good Father God is. I change my mind about the way I relate to You. I ask that You renew my mind. And I want to experience all that You are. I give my life over to You. I give You the controls. I want to get to know You more and spend the rest of my life, all eternity, with You. If you prayed that prayer, I want to ask that everyone's eyes still stay closed, but I want to just see if someone's prayed that prayer. I want to pray with you. I want to meet with you afterwards just to kind of get to pray with you a little bit. But more about some of the dreams that God's got in store for you. If you prayed that for the very first time, would you raise a hand? I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm just going to get to identify with you, and then I'll call you up where we can meet a little bit afterwards. Is there anybody here? If you could just raise a hand. Thank You, Lord. Lord, for the rest of us, I want to pray that Your goodness will overfill our minds, our hearts, our bodies, Lord. Lord, I just pray even now, Lord, by Your Spirit, Lord, that we would not just fall asleep tonight without the thought that You are all good and You are all good towards us. Birth new dreams, Lord. New vision. New hope. New desires, Lord. Because we know, Lord, that all things that are created come from Your throne room. And we submit ourselves to Your goodness. We lay ourselves down at Your feet. As You pass before us right now, Lord, just Your goodness, Holy Spirit, just show everyone, Lord, here this evening, how good our Father is. And Lord, that we have no place for despair. We have no place in our hearts for anxiety. No place in our hearts, Lord, for anything else other than hope, love, and faith. We pray this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you like to go and enjoy some goodness on this side with one another? And we'll see you next week. Bless you.